The next case to be heard is case number 2016-1549. Good morning, Mr. Johnson. If you would like to proceed with your argument, please.
Yes, thank you. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes of time for rebuttal. I'm William Johnson. I'm the owner of the property. I've farmed this particular farm for over 25 years. I'm personally familiar with every square inch of the farm. Since I only have 15 minutes, many of the details of the citations, the exact time of testimony on the audio tapes, exact references in discovery are contained in the merit brief, and I won't go into that level of detail during the oral arguments. But I think this court will find that the BTA acted unlawfully and unreasonably when they didn't, when they upheld the BOR decision. The BTA in its ruling assumed that the BOR was entitled to a presumption of validity. Springfield Local Board of Education versus Summit City Board of Revisions was one of 11 cases where the Supreme Court had upheld that the BTA's reliance upon this presumption of validity is not supported by law. Additionally, in Amswell versus Cuyahoga County Board of Revisions, the Ohio Supreme Court held that while a determination of the value of real property by the Board of Revision is entitled to a consideration by the BTA, it is not presumably valid. Additionally, the BTA cited Johnson versus the Board of Revisions, which was a Second District Court of Appeal case where I had appealed the CAUV valuation of my farm for tax years 2010 through 2012. And in that decision, the BTA noted that that the court found after a thorough review of the record, however, it is unclear how the auditor and the BOR arrived at the CAUV value for Johnson's property for 2010 through 2012. In other words, there is no reliable or probative support for the value which they arrived. The Second District Court of Appeals remanded this case back to the BOR. Remanded it the matter to the BOR to determine how it arrived at its calculations for the CAUV on the appellate's property and to demonstrate that its calculations for CAUV were reliable and supported by evidence. The BTA in its decision on page 3, paragraph 1, acknowledged that the Clark County auditor admitted he was unfamiliar with the CAUV calculations and would rely on the recommendations of Mr. Simpson. The BTA also acknowledged in its decision that nothing in the record suggests that such an evaluation took place or the recommendations were received by the auditor.
Before you move on, could you just explain to me a little bit how a presumption of validity was applied by the BTA?
Well, part of that I'll go through in the facts that are presented. First of all, with the complaint, I provided presented a two-page summary of the justification for my CAUV values. I presented 6 exhibits at the actual hearing. A total of 19 exhibits were presented, 6 photos. And for the BTA hearing, we also had the discovery documents and production of documents from the auditor's office, plus my expert testimony, plus the expert testimony of 3 other witnesses. The BTA found on page 2, paragraph 2 of its decision found that the appellate had presented no independent evidence of value. So I presented all of this particular evidence. The Board of Revision presented none. So there's obviously there's a presumption of validity that they ruled in favor of the BOR.
So the presumption of validity, if I'm understanding you correctly, the presumption of validity is based on the BTA's failure to credit your evidence?
Yes. The BTA had no basis in law or facts to assume that the BOR is entitled to a presumption of validity.
And is it your contention then, by your submission of evidence, that in and of itself satisfies your burden to prove value?
Well, I think a lot of the case law says that once I presented evidence that the BOR has a corresponding burden to refute that evidence.
And that's simply by the admission of the evidence. It's just because you submitted the evidence, then they have a burden. Is that your position?
No, I think the evidence has to be taken that it was expert. Some of it was expert. Much of it was expert testimony. You'll find that a lot of it was deemed to be hearsay, even though it was government documentation for the United States Department of Agriculture and the Farm Service Agency. The Board of Revision and the BOR claimed that this was hearsay evidence, which is counter to the hearsay rules.
And do you assert that your testimony was expert testimony because you are the owner of the property?
Absolutely, because I had farmed the property for over 25 years. When I bought the property, it got a brand new survey. I was familiar with every corner, survey stake. I had intimate knowledge of all the crop boundaries and all the boundaries of all the property. And that is superior knowledge to the mapping expert that the auditor had, who had never been on my property and sits in his office and looks at aerial surveys.
Okay.
Also, the BTA found that no land can be valued at zero. This ruling is contrary to the Ohio Revised Code. Revised Code 57-1304 clearly states that public highways, canals, and public waterways shall be valued at zero. And in fact, the west boundary of my property, the 1.6 acres along Old Clifton Road, are valued at zero on the auditor's on the sheet. At issue to me was the 2.74 acres of Goose Creek ditch drainage, which is a public waterway. My assertion that the Ohio Revised Code says that should be, since it's a public waterway, should be valued at zero. As a matter of law, the BTA erred in its ruling that no land can be valued at zero because the statute says it is. One of the big issues is the drainage on the farm. Drainage is clearly a factor for the agricultural value of the land. And the BTA completely missed the argument in its decision when it says that the testimony of Gloria Gardner, who is the CAUV expert for the tax commissioner, refuted the testimony of Chris Simpson, who is the Clark County soil and water conservation expert that the auditor uses. This is exactly the argument. When I had Gloria Gardner testify, she testified that the three soils in question, which are the Patton, Crosby, and Kokomo soils, were very poorly drained. I asked Gloria Gardner whether the land tables that the tax commissioner uses to value that land, whether they were for drained or undrained, and her testimony, she used a double negative. She says they're not undrained, which means drained. And that had been my contention all along, that the soil tables that the auditor had been using were for drained soils. Chris Simpson did a site visit at my farm and determined that these soils were undrained. And this is the heart of a major part of the argument on the CAUV revision that I had requested, that the CAUV, the value for undrained soils are substantially lower than they are for drained. And in fact, Exhibit 17 gives some examples from the tax commissioner's land table that shows both drained and undrained soils and the fact that the undrained is substantially lower. I'd ask one of three remedies for this particular issue. First of all, the Ohio Administrative Code requires that the auditor, if a soil type isn't found in a tax commissioner's table, to contact the tax commissioner and get a soil value for that particular soil. The auditor never did that, and the Board of Tax Appeals didn't find that that to be a requirement. The other way is that Ohio Administrative Code also has a way of adjusting the value of the land tables using a correcting factor, and that's noted in detail in my brief, and that was the main mechanism that I used for my calculations on my complaint. The other method was the...
In your calculations, how did you establish the boundaries that you were...
Okay. This is the part that it's where the tax committee, or where the BTA was completely unreasonable. In discovery, the auditor stated, the auditor's mapping expert stated that they use the GIS system, which is a geo informational systems. Anyway, it's an overlay of the soil types, the topography, aerial photographs, and land boundaries. This system is a public system available to me. In fact, it's on the auditor's site, the exact system that the auditor uses. Both the BOR and the BTA says that I had to use certified measurements from a surveyor for my calculations of boundaries and acreage, but the auditor was allowed to use the GIS system for his calculation of boundaries and acreage. I used the exact system, the exact methodology that the auditor's mapping expert did, and in fact, in the discovery documents, you'll find that the auditor's mapping expert concluded that we came up with the same exact numbers. But it's unreasonable that that they would put a burden on me that I had to use a more stringent requirement than the auditor uses for the same exact calculations. So anyway, on the drainage, the...
But do I understand correctly that you used portions of the auditor's map, and so it was for a different purpose than originally used on the...
Well, first of all, I use the auditor's map to show, you'll see in the exhibits, the auditor's map showing the actual areas that the auditor had listed as woodlands, waste, croplands, and pasture. And then I presented evidence, in many cases photos, showing that that didn't correspond to the truth, what we call truth on the ground. When you go out there and look at it, I have a gravel road, and they're calling it cropland. It's an all-weather 12-inch thick gravel road, and they're calling that cropland or pasture. Or you have a fence line that is full of trees and stuff like that, and they're calling that cropland or pasture. So those were some of the many areas that were in dispute. I presented my testimony plus the photos to support my testimony, and the BTA concluded that none of that was probative. They took the testimony of the mapping expert of the auditors, who had never been on the site, instead. So that's definitely unreasonable. I had followed the Ohio Administrative Code for CAUV calculations to the letter, and part of the brief when we were before the Board of Revisions was why didn't the auditor follow the Board of Revisions why didn't the auditor follow the Ohio Administrative Code at that particular time? The auditor stated that he had been provided guidance from Gloria Gardner, who's the CAUV expert for the tax commissioner, to the contrary. I had Gloria Gardner testify on my behalf at the BTA hearing, and she said she provided no such guidance. And in fact, legal counsel for the tax commissioner stated that Gloria Gardner would not be allowed to provide any guidance that would be contrary to the Ohio Administrative Code or statutes on this matter, that only the tax commissioner could provide such guidance. is one of my assertions that following the Ohio Administrative Code by definition is competent and probative, and the failure of the BOR to follow that, especially when their only reason for not doing that was refuted by the tax commissioner's representative, obviously it does not bode well for their argument. One of the issues is the Ohio Administrative Code says that no piece of ground can be classified as cropland or pasture if it if it can't be converted to cropland by simply plowing. A major dispute was the all-weather road that we had. You see pictures of it in the exhibits. You see where the tax BOR had classified those pastures and croplands, and that's contrary to Ohio Revised Code and Administrative Code. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Hoffman.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We will let our brief stand on most of the issues in this case. However, touching on some topics brought up by the appellant this morning, he's referring to a second district case from years ago when our auditor was brand new and indicated that he was not familiar with CAUV values at that time. He was newly elected at that time. He's been in office several years now, and his staff obviously was kept in place and knows the calculations very well. So to attribute a statement made in another case to this case is inaccurate. In fact, the BTA specifically found that the present appeal can be distinguished from the earlier case and goes on to list that. I'm not going to go through all that. But clearly they distinguished the prior case, the second district case, from this case, and for good reason. Stating that Gloria Gardner indicated that the land was undrained is not accurate at all. She said it was not undrained, as the appellant was trying to get her to say. Rather, it's poorly drained or very poorly drained, and those soil types are in the tax commissioner's calculations and used appropriately by the auditor in this case. Chris Simpson also testified that any recommendations he made regarding soil types or anything else that appellant had talked to him about at his farm visit were followed by the auditor in their evaluation of the farm. So to say that both of those people would indicate that the land is undrained is inaccurate. They have in fact stated that it is poorly drained and that those calculations are available in the tables issued by the tax commissioner. Furthermore, also in our brief, it indicates Gloria Gardner has never indicated that she did not give guidance on certain issues, rather that she just does not recall whether she was asked about those issues. The auditor's office does remember those conversations. Ms. Gardner does not. That does not mean she did not give that guidance. That just means she does not recall whether she gave it or not. And lastly, the auditor and the Board of Revision do follow the Administrative Code. Appellant continuously says they do not, and they have not. They use it every day and have followed it in this case to come up with the proper CAUV value for appellant's farm. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Johnson, you have 14 seconds remaining, but we'll go ahead and give you a minute to wrap up.
I thought I had reserved 3 minutes. I'm sorry. First of all, in the Board of Tax Appeals decision on page 4, paragraph 2, they say Ms. Gardner testified that the soil is not undrained. Is that double negative means it's drained. That was a contention I have, is that the land tables were for drained soil and that Mr. Simpson stated that the soil was undrained. Thereupon is the difference in a major difference in the valuation of the CAUV on the farm. I'm out over my 13 seconds.
You can have a minute to wrap up, that's fine.
Okay. We talked a little bit about the boundaries, but it's certainly unfair that the BTA and the Board of Revisions won't let me use the same exact methodology that they use to calculate acreage and boundaries. And in fact, if you look at the administrative code, it clearly states that you have to use planimeters for that. That's a method that I learned in engineering college 30 years ago, and nobody does that anymore. So the technology is at the GSI level now, and it's available to anybody. And in this day and age, anybody that's competent with a computer, especially the farmer who has intimate knowledge of the actual boundaries of each and what's at each of the locations, is far superior to the mapping expert sitting in the office at the in Springfield. Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Thank you. Thank you both. This case will be submitted to the court, and you will be advised of the court's decision. Thank you. Marshall, will you please adjourn the proceedings?
All rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. This open session of the Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio now stands adjourned. Thank you.